Asian and Korean School to order. It's 1:35 p.m. and the date is February 19th. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I'm assisting at myself, Senator McGuire, and Vice Chairman Senator Pompeo, Senator Rachinkey, and Senator Wilkowski. We have a few items on the agenda today. The first is our Senate President, Senator Breyer, with Senate Bill 123. Use of electronic devices while driving. So let's have him and his trusty staff come forward. And it's my intention to go ahead and hear this for the first time today. And we'll hear it again on Wednesday with the intention of moving out. So members can have a kind of collective thought to work with the sponsor should there be any questions. And then, Senator Breyer, just so you're aware, online, Lieutenant Danny Houston with the City Troopers, and Regala with the Director of Public Advocacy, both indicating they'd be available for questions for you.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Judiciary Committee. For the record, my name is Senator Breyer from South Anchorage. And I know the chairs of this bill and the previous committee, and several of you are from Anchorage. As you know, I've recently passed an ordinance, basically doing the same thing that this bill is attempting to do, and that is to lower the penalty of texting while driving in a class of misdemeanor, which, of course, as you know, carries a $10,000 fine and a year in jail, to a simple violation, which is a $500 fine. So this would manage the diminished bond acreage for the steps. The thought behind lowering the penalty is that law enforcement will be more apt to issue a ticket rather than pursuing a class A misdemeanor. And no other aspect of this stern law, including higher penalties for those found guilty of kissing, bears on to injury or death during a person who changed in the substitution. This is only the texting and driving portion of the existing law. And I think this part of that is legislation is intended just to cite people for texting and driving. And again, the penalties and if it's treated more like a traffic ticket, then they'd be more apt to get enforced. Again, the class A misdemeanor is a lengthy process. You have to get a search warrant, you have to take the cell phone, you investigate the contents on the phone, and then, of course, going to court of law. Could be a jury, and it's just very expensive time-consuming. Now, my point I'll make is that this will never have to be used. It's by no means a revenue generator of the state, although this will exceed needs, but various would be there. But that's not intended for this bill. I said I'll be fair use, but we don't have to look too hard out on the streets to see that people are still texting and driving, which is extremely dangerous. Again, the cost of prosecuting individuals has proven to be a deterrent for law enforcement to charge individuals. For example, the criminal came into effect in 2011, and the Anchorage Police Department only charged 20 individuals while texting for about 5 per year. And in those kind of cases, only 4 resulted in conviction. So, our current law is not working. But this bill, an officer who witnesses an individual texting while driving, can pull them over and issue a ticket immediately. The person still has the right to appeal a citation, but the process would be handled in a traffic court rather than a criminal court system. And this has 2-0 fiscal months, but I think it will create additional revenue for the state in the sense that it's so expensive to take in these cases to court, so we don't have to do that. That would be a savings to the state. With that, Madam Chair, we're certainly open for any questions.
Excellent. Thank you, Senator Breyer. Just a couple questions on the record. I think I need the answers, but just for the public listening, just to set the record clearly, that it's still legal for Alaskans to use their cell phones while driving, so long as there are hands-free systems. Just wanted to clarify that out on the record. And it looks like you've made a pretty clear sponsor statement again that still able to use navigational devices, GPS systems, etc. And I just want to help us answer to those two questions that are here.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yes, we're not changing the existing law as it pertains to those devices. What was your first question?
Cell phone use. Yes, yeah. That's
right. Yeah. Not here. The current law allows that, and we're not changing. Yeah. I have a trust in staff, just if you want to turn this over.
Yeah. I'm not going to answer. I don't know what I can do. Another aspect of the current law is being changed, except for the sample vaccine that we have to answer. Questions from members of the committee?
I just have one. Senator Meyer, someone was responsible not to pull over and they don't think it's the other way. You're not going to encourage you down here. Get to a place where you have signal and you pull over and you get three or four off and you get far away and you go anyway. What happens in that case if there were an accident that is not your fault that results in? Is there an easy way for them to prove that your vehicle had stopped?
I would probably have to refer to the existing alternative using that might be. I know that currently the law for texting and driving has also doesn't change this. It's only when the vehicle is in motion. So as far as I'm able to prove that or was or wasn't, that would probably be a question for the experts. Other questions? So, and I would just say, I support it. I think it is clearly one way that drivers can be distracted. And just put on our mind that I would hope lawmakers would come back in years that follow, like we had done with the primary seatbelt law, just to be clear that every tool in good law enforcement is always protected from abuse. And that abuse can come in the form of search and seizure. And improper, to sort of ascertain more than what the stated reason is. And I would just hate to see a loss of individual privacy rights abuse. And so I made this comment, but that also more for the primary seatbelt law. So I think this is good. Again, just hoping that at some point, when I first go out, just reflect on and be sure that it isn't being used improperly. Okay,
with that, we have Lieutenant Bailey Hanson, just to take his time to focus on the chicken. Oh,
crap,
this is your son. Sorry, Meyer. Just wondering if, along with some of this experience, many people pass over the dying. And I'm just wondering if you were possibly looking into approaching one of the safety organizations for a campaign bumper stickers or something, and that's the valid text, and it just passes as normal against the law so that folks may get the message. I mean, it's I think if you're typically sitting at a stoplight or driving down, you can drive here and look to your right, look to your left, look at the text and go. That's something in our opinion. So I think the best campaign will be when people start getting on an hour tickets for us and get out real quick. It's not just kids, it's adults that do this, and some of my people are most frustrated pretty quickly because a $500 fine is a this is only one of the cars actually moving. center within a feet of your acreage and the transition level and the building for the surgery center to both the state fund and the municipal fund.
Through the chair, Senator Lucassi, who's been running the defense, I did check with the municipal attorney in the Anchorage municipality, and they explained to me that it is pretty much up to the designated attorneys to which one they prosecute, whether it's municipal law or federal or the state law. We have Lieutenant David Hanson in line with the state troopers. I do want to look, but otherwise, if we need to bring Department of Law back, we can do that because of the elements in
here. There is a people with Anchorage. They say by $5,000 for security. So that's what they say.
Okay. So I'm going to go to Lieutenant David Hanson with the state troopers. He is online, and I didn't know if you had prepared testimony to offer. But certainly Senator Lucassi has a question about whether or not the last thing that we can use would be subject to both penalties under the municipal ordinance as well as state law.
Is to make this similar to traffic ticket framing. When I get a traffic ticket from outside of the you can negotiate or break down as the ITC. I guess it's just a policy call as well for me because it sounds like if you're in the average jurisdiction, pulled over by a municipal officer, you get to take this for $1,000, whereas if you're over the line, you're it's a $500 fine, and it's not costing that in one place.
And there's several companies, you know, that the intent is that you can only get fined once, but you can be fined both with the city ordinance and the state law. That's our intent. We'll make sure and change the bill or get rid of what we need to do, make sure that's clear.
Thank you.
So, probably,
So I guess for me, what I want to do is find out where we got to for this discussion.
Okay, so I guess the chairman will check on that. Because this was mirrored off after the Anchorage city limits. So this would point up to 500. There's some flexibility there to the police officer. We just need to have the citation. So we can work it out.
So maybe if you have cases sure here in the room, if it would be possible, let's have her come forward and speak to these two questions. So be sure you've heard the conversation. One is the question of whether you'd be doubly fined under municipal law to the extent there was one for the same infraction. Strictly couldn't be that. Exists in law. And the second is whether or not you read this bill is currently, my response is that the bill is currently drafted to allow for some flexibility in the fine itself, that you need up to 500 or more. And then I'd like to be sure that this is Attorney General for the law. For the first question, I think that there are people who are reading regulations. And the title to me is specific by another provision that requires this order to be consistent and not more severe. So there is an amendment in there to make sure that all three main provisions are in traffic laws that are consistent, and so there really don't have any implications there. But as to the second question, I'm sure our layout in 112 is 1255-035, and it says a fine of not more than. Fines be up to the dollar amount, so there is discretion in a range somewhere between $1 and $500. And Senator Lacrosse's question was, is it the officer who issues the citation that decides the fine, or is it appealable with respect to the amount of the fine or just the citation itself? How does that process work?
Well, thank you, through the chair. The only other citation that I can think of off the top of my head that any research that would be up to amount is up there in a fence where you can see the further outside of a moving vehicle. It's rising up to $1,000 or whatever. Normally, the best tables are set where it's a defined and predetermined amount, even for speeding, if it's at around 1,000 or over 1%, that's going on for 4 or 8,000 per mile. So,
they're testing points so that they go to court, knowing that
trooper or officer will hit that parking lot on a fine, and if they go to court, they may get released from the parking lot. It's got to be like the outcome. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I'm sure. I'm just speaking on what my personal experience is, and I know that I've been in court a number of times where people have said, after I've done providing my testimony, the parents have said, well, pretty much everything the trooper said is correct. I was sure to see if I could take it into the US or try to find reduce their points or use. And I know speaking of one from the administrative function, I've never heard a judge, and that's what they've been on. It was both the articulations and functions. But I have heard them take fines down, and I'm not sure how common it still is. It's been a while since I've actually been in traffic court. I know that that is something that sometimes defendants will do, is they'll offer that up as this, perhaps the only defendants is just trying to get a fine reduced.
My first question is related to the fact that there only been 110 citations. It looks like 110 citations. They've been charged since 2017. Is that because most of them are the results of either a minor or more serious accident, or is it because some of those officers have actually pulled people over observing them texting? Do you have an answer to that?
I can't speak specifically to the municipal statistics that were brought up, but I know that I've done a lot of research on this as far as the DPS goes. And reviewing our case records from 2012 to 2015, for those 4 years, Alaska DPS initiated a total of 69. Cases of only the driver that was texting, operating the screen device or otherwise distracted. Of that total, 17 were charged under 13 AAC 02495C, which serves largely as a tag on regulation with respect to this offense that addresses drivers being generally distracted by an animal or an Indian or whatever they have flying made up sometimes in a covered one with that scene. There's a DPP that's under the one that's mentioned in the bill, which is the AS-2835-161, that specifically speaks to extreme offenses, which is roughly 13 cases each year over the course of the number one conduct in the last 4 years. So, as part of the reason that troopers are perhaps less likely to charge individuals on the class A misdemeanor, I assume for the group requirements, I believe that Senator Meyer had been previously stated that we're in large agreement with what he said. In a misdemeanor trial, the trooper would be required to provide evidence that the driver was distracted by a screen device, whereas the trooper might have an infrared video system that could capture bad driving by leading in lane or over button by being more slow speed because they're distracted. It is often as difficult and even sometimes unsafe for the trooper to attempt to document the driver texting while using their phone for a reason of violence before showing designation. As a result, the trooper would appear in court to testify to criminal trial with no physical evidence. Unless the driver happens to consent to a search of the phone to allow the trooper to actually have evidence in the court of prosecution. So, reducing this crime to a violation would likely result in a trooper being able to observe an event much like he would observe the driver laying a stop sign or making a reasonable lane change and then taking time to into court. So, does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
Chair, the section about an exception for emergency vehicles. There's only an exception for emergency vehicles under 2835-161. If the user of the equipment or device reasonably believes the information on the device is necessary to respond to a health, safety, or criminal matter. And the reason I'm asking the question is people don't write laws that exclude the folks that are issuing the violations. So my question is, does the department train, and you can't speak to municipalities, but do they train ASD to only use their screen devices in those cases? But I'd like to have the officers putting themselves in an equally unsafe position by using those screens, feeling like they have an exemption.
Yes, chair, answering your question, is there, we do have, I guess, in a way, we have what we call training, right? And we'll pause and address the use of our tough books, which are basically our laptops that we have that control the able to serve as sort of a mobile workstation. I know that there's GPS functions, I know that's also used for mapping to do by any development. We do have policies that speak against basically, need a red line for when you're tidying on a pool while they're driving down the road. Yes, we may have a policy against people that are kind of using them in a way that would overcome the fact that they're pulling up like that.
Thank you.
So,
yes, maybe suited for a while. This change would be Cooper or police have the right to seize the telephone?
When I produce a charter, as a speaker, I didn't try it like that. I think for sure there will not be a matter of course. Business is not likely to happen. However, the Office of Supreme Court has said that search warrants may be issued.
Is there a change in the procedure for this manager violation? What can be seized or
confiscated? The Office of Supreme Court has said that violations are quasi-criminal, and therefore most criminal procedures apply before search and seizure and things like that. That would be the normal. If you're going to search, the normal conduct, the rules surrounding that would apply. So, if a potential legal issue or a warrant, you can see the evidence for that.
So, there's no change between the crime law. Is misdemeanor and don't do a violation. It's pretty much the same interpretation that you have to go through a search warrant process. So, do you know how many cases that have been where people have attempted to seize cell phones?
I'm not sure
it's
general, but I know with the cases that have come up, I've seen that were at the misdemeanor level.
Search warrant procedure is usually you call someone over, you saw someone texting on the phone, you pull them over, you ask for immediate search warrant, or is it something where you sort of goes back to his department and goes to the paperwork and then a few days later gets a search warrant?
For the terms of normal procedure, it could be either way. I can say that searching a cell phone is onerous. It requires a lot of labor and contacting the cell phone company and things like that, so it may take some time. So maybe they can be able to see a phone, but then won't be able to search it for a while. And the idea is that they know that it's bad on that.
I think you guys need to do like 10 years and what the actual practice is.
Yes, Mr. Chair, as far as using a phone, one of the things that we would do is they get in contact is actually to use the phone. If that was not allowed, we would have to go through a warrant process. What we would end up having is someone to see the phone, and then hold it until, and not search it until a warrant or would apply for and then obtain. And then the process of searching it, which can be labor intensive, part of the problem too is if the consent is given to someone back there and there's the initial contact, if they have consent to view the phone, they can take the phone from there to do a search. A lot of times that's their only source of being able to get a hold of it, so if they decided any point to the door off consent, they don't have any way of calling us or telling us that their consent is withdrawn. So it's a lengthy process, and it's an hours-long process at minimum to apply for the warrant and also the examination process and the instructions in the phone return.
Practice-wise, do you know how many times phones have been attempted to be seized by troopers?
You know, Public testimony has been closed, so we need to be reopened if there were any, if, you know, Ms. Harry testified on it. We do have Susan DiPietro of Washington and Jacobus that we can reach. Are there any questions from the members which may continue to the live thing or not?
We did actually hear from Jacobus the other day on the screen. Part of it, and I think the testimony was that the rule for those who follow it, that illness, and for those who don't follow it, scoff at it, cannot be used in the church. So, I think that's pretty good testimony.
Excellent. So, anything further from members? If not, I take a motion.
I'm sure. I know that we move from CS for hospital industry judiciary for giving the individual recommendations.
Objection to that motion. Seeing and hearing none, then House Bill number 83, the individual organizations and such system of the rule pass out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Okay, next we have CSU House Bill number 93 by Representative Kathy Tilton, and it is also my intent in this bill today. So let's go to the line. We have available for questions the following four individuals for members: Mark Allen, Director of Public Advocacy; Carrie Baldwin, Director of Commission on Parole; Ruben Foster, the Alaska Department of Corrections; Ikei and Bill Stensi, also from the Alaska Department of Corrections on Ikei. And so with that, Representative Tilton, you said before that the bills are in here, whether questions that you've resolved for the record for members. We did prepare the first two recommendations from that last meeting from Senator Milkowski, and we are satisfied with the bill. It's so Jesus. Excellent. And did you want to explain any of the changes that
So
If not, we will adjourn.